The Lord is good.
All the time.
If you are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
It's always nice to know that people are with you and they are not sleeping while you are awake preaching. Is that okay?
Yes,
all right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
Now, let's open our Bibles to declare the glory of the Lord this morning. Isaiah 42, we are reading from verse 5. As usual, we read the same version of the scriptures, trusting that by doing that, we'll all be in sync. We are reading from verse 5 and we're going all the way to verse 13. Now, one, two, let's go. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have also held you by the hand and watched over you. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will usher shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. Amen. All right, this morning, Father God, we give you praise. We thank you and we open our hearts to you to pour forth your spirit into us again. We receive it by faith. We trust that as your word is coming forth, you will ride upon the words into our hearts. The Spirit of God will enter into our hearts and set us on our feet this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we believe this, we declare as follows. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. His word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, now let's get into today's teaching. What I want to do, you know, first of all, let me appreciate our brother, Elder John, who stood in for me last week. And I trust you were all blessed. I know many of you are not around because marathon people blocked the road everywhere. But I hope you joined online. So God bless you very much, Elder John. Hallelujah. Now, before then, I was talking about, and I'm going to discontinue that, that ended. Talking about the servants of God. So later on, there's something else I want to talk about. But once in a while, like I said this last year, we began that, I just go off the serious thing and drop a word. Usually will last one day or two at the most. And one of them, the Lord placed in my heart yesterday. And I want to talk about this morning. And I happen to have a title for it. It's not often. So I know some of you won't believe the title until the end. But I actually have a title. And I titled it, Overcoming the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. All right? So does that tree need to be overcome? That's the question I know you want to ask. That scripture, that story we know from the book of Genesis. But let me start from the book of Psalms. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. I want to start by reading the book of Psalms, number 15. Psalm 15 is where I will start from this morning. The verses are not many, so we'll read the whole psalm. He said, O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. But who honors those who fear the Lord? He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Now, I've read this to just introduce something. I'll come back to it in a moment. Just to bring out the fact that, you know, the Bible says to us, Proverbs was speaking. In the book of Proverbs, it said there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven which are what? An abomination to him. All right? Six things the Lord hates. Now, that tells me something. That there are things the Lord loves. There are things that he delights in. If there are things he hates, therefore, there are things he loves. And it's the reason why I read this, okay? And I'm going to end here later on this message. The fact that God loves certain things. Like, for example, the one who walks in integrity, who walks righteousness, who speaks the truth, does not slander with his tongue, does not do evil to his neighbor, does not take up a reproach against his friend, and who despises the reprobate and honors those who love the Lord. The kind of person who swears to his own hurt and does not change, and does not take advantage of people's difficult times by charging them interest for money he lends to them at such a time, and does not take bribe against the innocent. Now, this is the kind of person that the Lord saw in Nathanael, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, in whom there is no deceit. His heart is pure. You can see through it. He doesn't have anything to hide. Now, God loves such persons, okay? Bear that in mind. We end there, all right? Now, let's start from here. The book of Genesis, let's start from chapter 2, yeah. Now, you know the story, I just like reading it from verse 8. The Bible says that the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground, the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what did he say concerning that tree? In verse 15, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Bear that in mind. Then go to chapter 3, please. In chapter 3, we read that a serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And of course, you know the story. He went to tempt the woman, and he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. God doesn't know what he's talking about. Again, let me say this. Like you were saying here yesterday, anybody that undermines the scripture is to be despised. We read that from Proverbs chapter 15. Keep away from such a person. Do not discuss your matters with them. Don't listen to their advice. They are the ones the Bible calls the ungodly. That someone says, don't walk in their, don't listen to their counsel. Don't walk in their path. All right? Don't sit in their seat. Anyone, like you were telling us yesterday, somebody said that a preacher was preaching. He said, I was telling somebody, don't go to the village. He was quoting scripture for me. Now, that is stupidity. That's madness. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you shouldn't say that. Quoting scripture is the will of God. Do you understand my point? That is what you do. So Satan said, He said, you surely will not die. For the Lord knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now listen to this carefully. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Now the Lord now came in the cool of the day. If you read verse 8. Verse 9, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? I'm in your house. He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Notice that. Somebody told them. The Lord was not fiddling around. He knew that they had heard something. Who told you were naked? He said, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. Now, I don't want to talk more about that. Again, let's jump to a few verses and go to the Lord's conclusion. Verse 22, that's where this reading is ending. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Let me stop reading verse 22 here. What is wrong with his eating and living forever? He will be in that state forever. And that's what the Lord wanted to avoid. Is that okay? Okay, let me remind us of something we have talked about again and again. What does it mean to eat? Of course, we've seen this story here. The trees were there. Let's stick with this particular tree. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It has its fruit. And you could eat the fruit. And let's start from what the Lord said. It really will make you wise. The Lord acknowledged it. You will be able to discern between good and evil. And you actually become like God. How do I know it did that? God said so. He says, seeing that man has become like one of us. So we have to understand that Satan's temptations are not lies the way people interpret lie to be. When he said they will become wise, they became wise. When he said they will become like God, they became like God. I don't know whether you ever thought about it. Some of us think Satan will lie. And Satan, what he says, no, what he says, he tells Jesus, if you bow down to me, I will give you all these kingdoms. He would have given him. Not as if he bows down now and I say, he, catch you, got you there. He, no kingdom for you, but you are bowed. No, he will give him the kingdom. But there's something David talks about. He said that I entered into the temple and I beheld the end. That's where the problem is. Everything has an end. It is that end that's the problem. You told us a story yesterday which I found very interesting, instructive. And I've heard things like that, which is why I tell young people to be careful of quick money. You talk about the fine guy, you know, when everybody goes in slippers and rough clothes to go and read, he comes well decked, has a laptop, had things that young people would have loved to have. Now, so the man now said you could have one. He will provide one for you. Remember, he told us yesterday that only thing that you have to join their club. I said, I will join your club? I said, yeah. I won't tell you the kind of club it is, all right? Let's not talk too much. But it's the other thing you said, that you remember about 5 people that joined? No. Is there a number of people joined? Yeah. But you said of all the people you could remember that within 5 years after school, they were all dead. I'm talking about the end.
Within 5 years. That's what you told yesterday. Am I quoting you correctly? Within 5 years. One of our brothers is a pastor. I've told the story a number of times I preaching. He had the same experience. He was into fast money, internet fraud, all those kind of scams online. And then he gave his life to Christ. His father happened to be, funny enough, a clergyman. The father, he grew up in a Christian home. Doesn't automatically mean, you understand? He went the wrong way, then he came back to the Lord. And as soon as he rededicated his life to Christ, money came. It's Satan. Money came. One of the jobs they did. So his friends called him and said, oh boy. And they were like five friends. Our money has come. Come and take your portion. I don't know how much the money was, but let's just assume it's $50,000. This is $10,000 for you. Come and collect your own. See, I keep on saying righteousness does not pay. Do you get my point? You give your life to Christ, money is not coming. If you want to use financial pay. He was broke. By the time he was telling this story, he was still broke. And this happened years before. So that was the temptation. He wanted to take the money and not go back to the business. But this time around, he had enough sense to go and talk to his father. Confess his sins and said what he just plans to do is take this money and start a small business for himself. And start doing something for himself. His father now said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is worthy of the kingdom. That you will be looking back by this. He took his father's counsel and told his friends he didn't need the money. Of course, they were very happy to share it amongst themselves. Except that when he was telling us the story, at that time, he'd probably be in his early 30s or very late 20s. But he wasn't old. He said none of those his other friends, four of them, was alive when he was telling the story. None. They had all died different ways. So it's the end that matters. When Satan wants to tempt you, he doesn't tempt you with a lie. He tempts you with what looks real. I had to use the word looks real. If he says you will get money, you will get money. Yesterday, you were not even doing Bible study, you were preaching yesterday, all right? So because he told a lot of normal stories. There's another one he told. The young woman who called him said, God has forgotten me. Everything looks hard. And you ask her, when you give your life to Christ, how hard was it? So he said that the young woman was angry. You gave her some counsel. She listened. Then called you later to say, life is not really the way I'm thinking, though. Because one day we were going to church, one of her friends, one of the ladies she admired in the church, well-dressed, had everything. Things were going for her. A Pentecostal church, a choir member, told the lady, okay, let's go to church together. They're friends. That one said, no very quick. Let me call one of my guys. They'll come and pick us. Then a member of the church, a married man, drove down to pick them. And you could see the relationship was a bit friendly, kind of. So, dropped them in church. And she asked the woman, who's that guy to you? And that one looked at her like, are you a small girl? Are you a small girl? You're asking me this kind of stupid... Now, I'm adding my own words now. Asking me this kind of stupid question. Who's the guy to me? How do you think I can afford to look like this? That's why the girl realized that God didn't forget her. Those ones that eaten of the particular tree is the end. That's the issue. Both the lady in question and the man in question were both in the same church, one of them in the choir. And this righteous girl was looking at them. God has remembered them. He hasn't remembered me. So when Satan tempts, don't forget that. It's not the immediate that he lies about. It's the end he doesn't warn you about. It's the end. Even pastors, you know, when I'm preaching, I always drop a word for pastors. All these methods you are using to grow church that works immediately is dangerous. They are dangerous. It is dangerous to follow them. It is the end that matters. I keep on saying, using this illustration. I've gone back to do my calculations. The first time we had, of course, this plaza where we are preaching from, right over there is Rhema Bible Training Center. They are like that all over the world. In Nigeria, they have, this is Enugu Study Center. They have in Port Harcourt, they have in Lagos, they have in Abuja, they have in Kaduna, at least five in Nigeria. They may have more, but this one we know about. You go to Ghana, they are there. Let's not talk about America. They are dotted over the United States, Canada, South Africa. You go to South America, they are like all over the place. Asia, they are there. By the time that man, by the time we heard of him for the first time, I heard of Kenneth Hagin in the mid-80s. It was university I heard of him. The mid-80s. I read his book for the first time sometime in 85, 86. Yeah. Five Hindrances to Growth in Grace. I didn't think much of him that time. So I was just in a church, in a fellowship, and one man just walked up to me. Well, looking back now, I'm a very small boy too, but I was smaller than him, so he looked like a man. One young man just walked up and said, "Do you read Christian literature?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, let me give you one to read." He lent it to me. I read rather fast, all right? And they used to waste time a lot, okay? Before the meeting started, I'd finish the book. It's a very small book. Some of you know it. Those is mini books. And I still remember what I read till now. Looseness, lightness, loquacity, like other people. There's a fifth one, all right? But those are four of them. The hindrances to growth in grace. Now, then the following year, I got into the midst of people who, in fact, the first day we got the Kenneth Hagin tape, we gathered. You know what they call garden? It's like then you say, man, fried rice and chicken with plantain and all the other things. It's happening in that brother's room. And they send messages around. And that kind of thing. That was how we gathered. And I'm not exaggerating. In fact, it was more than that, the attitude. We all gathered to hear God speak. Somebody brought a tape, The Compassion of the Lord. I still remember the name of the tape. And the place is, and we were silent. Let all the heavens be silent before him. It is not what God can do, but what he yearns to do. Every buzzword will say, we're quiet. What like God, you remembered us in this room. D203, Hall 3, University of Benin Hostel. Thank you. You sent your servant in the form of a cassette tape. That's how much you want. After that, one of my brothers, I won't mention his name. Next time he went to fellowship, it is not what God can do. Accent has changed. The message has changed. Ken Hagin blessed us. But the point I'm making is that, as at that time, he had been nothing less than 40 years in ministry. That's where I was going. So I'm telling you, of that tape was 87, 88. Yes, around that time. I read him for the first time, 85, 86. At least. Then, what it was getting, by that time, it was getting, a lot of people had, faith movement was in Nigeria. But, so we thought that maybe this man started ministry 10 years ago. It was later on in life I realized that he would tell you the story of the Great Depression in America. How they were rationing tires for even preachers during the World War. In case you forgot, Second World War ended 45. I listened to him in 85, 86. Oh, so he had been in ministry for up to 50 years. Well, let's just say 45 years. Because it was 40 years after the World War I read this book for the first time. And he was a preacher before the war started. It's a ministry like a year of 1819. So let's even say 20. I know it's 1819, right? But let's even say 20. Just calculate how old he was. How long he had been preaching before we heard of him for the first time. And he started at Bible school, if I'm correct, in 77. Which was how many years after the war ended? He had been in ministry before the Bible school started for at least 35, 40 years. So those who want to do ministry, Bam! It started with a bang. I'm talking to preachers, all right? So you just assume that the way to make the sign that you're doing well in the ministry, you started 2-3 years ago. Now you are, your church is 500, 1,000 people. And by the sixth year, listen, if you started a church from ground zero, you know what they call ground zero? See, if you open the branch of Redeem, that's not ground zero. Yeah, no insult meant. I mean, that's a fact. You understand? Because as soon as you open, if people wake up in the morning, how's the branch? First service, you have 50. And there's a church next street too. RCCG is next street. That's why some pastors will not agree to go on their own. I'm not saying it's wrong to be a branch pastor. I'm just saying that there's a early move advantage to having an established name. It's been studied. You get a major, I forgot how many years, leverage. So it's not like it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that, understand that the Bible says that John the Baptist was a light and we rejoice in his light for a season. Pastor Yadebo is a light. That's what it means. David Oedipo is a light. So anytime you go put the name, Winner's Chapel, people follow that light. So it's a good boost for a lot of people. I'm not saying it's bad. But let's leave that because you don't want to do it. Maybe you are listening to me. That's not your plan. So don't even think you're doing badly just because it's been 2 years, it's been 3 years, you are still where two or three are gathered. My friend said one day they invited him to come and preach. A church was doing, I think, their 8th anniversary. So when they got there to preach, so, you know, when they entered, they saw the number of people in the church. He was a bit disappointed. He said, but when they saw the dance of the lead pastor and his wife, you would think there were a million people. He said the man was, he was not, okay, by the way, sorry. At that time, he had gone to the same city. Under another a known name, all right? He opened a branch of a church that we all know. And he was feeling bad that they are not, maybe they are still like 150. They are not plenty. Like, God, why? So he was praying and see what would he do, fasting and doing programs. Then they invited him to come and preach for us. It's our anniversary. He got there and he saw a handful of people. Then he saw the pastor dancing. He went back home to go and tell Lord, I'm very sorry. He went home to go and repent. He had to go home to go and say, dear Lord, who was I thinking? So understand, Pastor, there's no hurry. This last 1 year, in fact, the last 6 months, I was telling my wife, has been a tremendous 6 months in my life. You know why? In fact, the other time, my wife was telling me that she heard people quote me so much. She said, like, guys, will you people stop? Is it the only preacher in this world? He turned to me and said, okay, you know, so, like Pastor Banky was saying, there was time I said, ah. She was like, please, excuse me. She didn't say anything, it was in her heart, though. That can somebody please stop shouting my husband's name? And I was walking past, I heard people talking. I just said, so, you know, Pastor Banky was, I shouted, I heard my name. They didn't know I was coming. They were just talking. This convention I went for. They were just talking. I thought I was in any time. So I walked up to the mall. So back to I parked. One man walked up to me, said, let me tell you, you've changed my family's life. We met before. He said, no. I listen to you on radio. Then I go to YouTube to go and get your messages. A man greeted me, is that Pastor Banky? Pastor Eji? Pastor Eji is now my name. Yeah. He said, is that Pastor Banky? Pastor Eji? Now, why I said God in the last few months, I've heard that so many times. If I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to go market again because this is not good. I just packed, I was waiting for my wife, and the guy just saw me coming. He told me, he said, sir, I don't want to leave. He had his business, he was going, he said, but I don't want to. This one that I've seen you today, he said, you don't know what has done to me. You know why I told those stories? Someday I look into, maybe I'm just going to my computer, moving things. I see old pictures, 15 years ago. 18 years ago. And I see where we are sticking tapes, labeling tapes, cassette tapes. Do you understand? So I told my wife, I said, we've been doing this for a long time. In case you do not know, we started Kingdom World Ministries physical meeting in Enugu in 2003. 22 years ago. Going by Canadian standards, I'm not even worthy of opening a Bible school yet. So, if you're a pastor, calm down. That's what I'm saying. Buy cold water and drink. Do you follow what I'm saying? Don't think, nobody's teaching you any method of anything. There's no method. There's no, if you use this, you will go there. Listen, the end matters. You will disappear. That's what I'm trying to explain. Let me be honest with you. I've enjoyed, you know, people count numbers, they count money, they count. I have never laid emphasis on those things. I've always laid emphasis on what am I preaching? Are they well archived? Ask this man, if you see, okay, sorry. The way I harass you, you cough too much, I will point out to you, one of the guys that whispered to you, please, can you go to that hall? Nothing wrong with coughing. But I know what it will take to clean the recording. It will take men time. You see, now I'm preaching, it starts raining, I change my microphone. Once he said this will improve the sound and everything, I paid for it. You know the reason? Because the main thing is what we record and we send out. The other day, she was in my house, was just in that, in their church, that the only thing they used to, that their church didn't used to record. So what they did, between them and their pastor, they used to play only Pastor Bank. So the pastor would preach, but they were not recording. So how did they fill up the time when pastor is not preaching and their pastor can preach for long? I went to preach for one man in Port Harcourt, in Owerri also. Same thing. I'm not joking. When you win something in church, they give an SD card of 100 Pastor Banking messages. It's their gift. So, and this man preaches very well. And I said, sir, I wanted to see some of his messages. I said, he doesn't record. How can you not record? He said he thought about that since I have preached everything. I'm telling you, this was what he told me, his words. He said, you have preached everything, so that what they now do, he just gather Kingdom Word messages and share them. He will just do a small bit on Sunday and midweek service. Then everybody has go back to hear Pastor Banke. I said, no, sir. That one, I shall not agree. Because you can't be preaching like this and it's disappearing. I was not begging, sir. You know, okay, people like me too need somebody to listen to. Sound man of God, what are you talking about? Sound. So, what I'm trying to explain to you, this is what we have done over the last 20-something years. So, it has not been a problem to me. Money is plenty, money is not plenty. Maybe, people are plenty, people are not plenty. So, I said in the last 6 months, it's been a blessing, all right? Because before people used to tell me, Pastor, be encouraged though. People are getting blessed, so don't worry, be encouraged. I said, one, I'm not discouraged first. And I'm not saying don't tell me to be encouraged, but I wasn't discouraged. I just continued doing what you are doing. I wasn't planning to change. You don't blame them for being afraid. People have changed. All right. And they say you don't know how. One guy even told me this year. I said, who told me this now? The number of places he goes to and people gather in groups to listen to us. We began this 2003. The first set of messages, man on assignment. Next set, understand the new covenant. Then we used to do tapes. That's good to focus on your assignment. When we used to do tapes, I was advised that the tapes are too plenty. Difficult, because we won't sell it one. If I go for a program, we'll bind 14 tapes together and wrap it. If you want to buy 14. So people will find it. I said, that's their problem. So I've seen brethren, I've seen them gather, contributing money. They now come and collect one pack. I refuse. I said, no, I'm not going to change. This is how I preach. Do you know, within a short while, we had started digitizing messages. When I started doing MP3s, In my whole life, I had only seen one MP3 CD, which a friend of mine who emigrated to the United States, when I found out he was going to Texas, first thing I told the boy, go to this place, write them, let them send you. Because they used to advertise MP3. They'll give you free of charge. I told him what to do, so he got the MP3. So one day, a relative of his was coming to Nigeria. He sent it to me. That was my first time I was seeing an MP3 CD. The moment I found out we could do it, that's it. So the idea of packing 14 tapes disappeared. Now, a time came in which we do the MP3 DVD. I had to contain 50 messages. More. Of course, now we do one SD card, 800 messages. For almost the price of the SD card. Remember when the Jew went to, let me not mention the name of the church, I wanted to buy a CD. When they told her the price, like, what are you for serious? Oh, what do you mean? Maybe one CD, 1,000 naira. Why? It contains 10 messages. One message is 100 naira. He said, but the Nenugu Pastor Bank said for 150, and it contains 20 messages. She came back and said, oh, God, I think you have spoiled us. Now, I'm just saying all of this to let you know that we just continued doing this. So in the last 6 months was when all this encouragement, BCB, no, I was not hearing, I was no longer hearing from those who knew what it was doing. I was not hearing directly from those who were touched. That man who I told you I met, he told me, this set of messages, I've kept it for my children to grow up. They must hear it. I'm just waiting for them to grow up. So those who want to be like Kenneth Hagin, have the patience of Kenneth. That's what I'm saying. These days of social media, where people have studied algorithms to promote themselves, don't let it deceive you. That same algorithm will be used to cancel them. Of course. Be careful who makes you. If social media makes you, social media will break you. You have to be very careful who makes you. If social media is the one that you are trusting to make you, to make into. People are teaching pastors how to do, let me be honest with you, I've not gone to learn anything from anybody. It was COVID that persuaded me to start streaming because I felt that it put a restriction on things I could say. You see me till now, having to put off my mic once in a while, and the protest online was so much I had to stop, which means I can't say a lot of things. If you go and study social media algorithm to use to promote yourself into trouble, don't say I did not want you. Don't let small boys who are becoming celebrities. Look, you should not, let me just say this categorically. I don't know why I keep on preaching to preachers. You should not want to be a celebrity. It's something you should not like. The idea of being a celebrity should be bad to you. You should, like, I don't want it. I even carried my own to an extreme. I tell people, when they invite me for programs, some reverend will try and persuade them not to put my picture. You say, send pastor's photo. Say, pastor says it's not necessary. That's his name, people know. And you know what started it? I went to Port Harcourt. Some guys organized a program and invited, we came to minister. So they prepared everything. As we drove in, I saw one massive billboard across the road with my face on it, smiling like a confused human being. I said, is that me? You know, I felt like a false prophet. You know, honestly, I felt like a false prophet. All those people that do, I see your face, I prophesy. That's what I felt bad. You know, somebody whose name would be Nehemiah, Jeremiah. You know those kind of names? Please, so if your name is Nehemiah, Jeremiah, that's a coincidence. So I don't know. It may be. It may be. Please, so. It's a prophet, Nehemiah, Jeremiah. I felt like one. Man, next, I told guys, please, next design, I need to approve. So next day, I said, put the face as a watermark. So it will fade out. By the third time, I said, guys, just remove it, please. Just remove remove it. I said, just remove it. Now, I'm not saying it's evil. I mean, people still insist. In fact, they don't even ask me again. They just go on, like, type my name, find one picture of their. When I read it, I go see their poster. So they don't even ask me anymore. But there's no need. You don't need that notoriety. You know, when you're arriving, What is it? Are you a king of this world? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. So please, what am I trying to say? There's no need for this hurry. I'm telling my story because God helped me with something. I located early what I was supposed to be doing. Teach as much as possible. This year now, I've increased the work. You know, trying to, I was talking with them yesterday about some things. You know, just want to teach. As we were talking yesterday, I wrote out something. It's next another series I'll do for radio, titled "The Error of the Prophets." I just keep teaching. So mine has always been teach, archive, publish. Look, everything is centered around the teach, archive, publish. So anytime we do anything we teach, we make sure we keep it very well, and then we publish it where people can reach it, and many people can take advantage of it. If God decides to use it in 200 years, but many people are just looking for today, you know, as if this is a sign that they are doing ministry. The ministry, I mean, we started just last year. You see what God has done? Praise God. There are certain keys you press. Some of these keys, when you finish pressing them, there's no break at the end. You take off like, boom! The road will end, you are still moving. The bridge is out, you are still moving. Finally, you crash into the Atlantic. You say, what's all this button you are pressing for? So people are pressing keys. You heard the story of the man who went and bought a book on how to fly a plane. You heard that story? To start the plane, turn the kick. Boom, boom. I'm just joking about the sound, all right? Then to move on, do this. To fly into the air, do this. The guy was now cruising. And I said, to land the plane, buy volume 2. The guy is in the middle of air. He said, to land this plane, you have to buy volume 2. Ah, the guy is like, I did. Many people have pressed keys, they are flying, they can't land. It will land itself, if you know what I mean. Eventually it will land, you know what I mean. It will not crash land. Pastor, please take it easy. What did I say? Take it easy. Take it. Locate your work. Do it. See, it's not a sign that you know how to do church. That suddenly you went from 5 people to 20 people overnight. See, when T.G. Jakes exploded in quote in ministry, he wasn't starting the day before. I had been preaching for first time anybody heard about him. I've forgotten. Maybe like 12, something between 12 and 20 years. Yes. Before the woman that I lose, bro had been in ministry for a long time. He had watched his furniture being carried away because he could not pay. You know, they buy things on making payment. He didn't make payment. Let's get back to our message. So Satan doesn't lie like that. It won't appear like a lie. It's a lie. But doesn't it appear like that? Because in the immediate, you see the results. It's at the end that the problem. So God said, now let's get back to the meaning of that. I've just dropped a word there for some people. So God said, man is not like one of us. So let's remind us again of what's the meaning of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What does it mean to be like God? It's not a difficult thing to understand if you think about it well. Who does God swear by? Himself. Who does God appeal to? Himself. Which God does God fear? Himself. He has no God to fear. The meaning of the word God in that context is final authority. Man has now become his own final authority. That's what God said. Man has now become his own God. He has elevated himself to our kind of position in which he decides what is right, he decides what is wrong. Now, the meaning of knowledge of good and evil, please get it clear. Okay, it will be easiest for you to understand if you look at it like this. the right to decide what is good and what is evil. That's the best way. If you read it like that, you understand what the Bible is trying to say. It is not true knowledge of good and evil. It's you knowing, thinking you know what is good, what is evil. Do you get my point?
Yes.
The way I like to illustrate is that a man, his name is Kingsley. You can read up on him. Kingsley. He did a study on the sexuality of human beings and came to a conclusion, listen to this, that to be a homosexual is normal. What was his reason? He saw the proportion of homosexuals who are supposedly hiding. So he's saying, we have this number of people who are attracted to the same sex sexually. So it must be normal. He went ahead as part of his study. Now, by the way, the study has been demonstrated to be seriously flawed, that he studied what he did not understand. And his methodology was bad. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that it was published in about 2 volumes. He did one for men and one for women. Basically, he explained that adultery is a normal thing for both men and women. Now, what many people did not realize is that a disproportionately high number of the people he studied were prostitutes. They were harlots. It was an unfair sample size. It's like going into a jail for hardened criminals to study human behavior. But let's not talk about his methodology. What I want us to understand is that based on those things, laws were written to decide what is good and what is evil. Do you follow? So, it is now in many countries. In fact, like some people told us, that, look, one of my guys in America, there are all these sort of gay, lesbian. Listen to this. He said, it is you people it bothers. That here we have learned to live with it. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what he means by the knowledge of good and evil. So if I say it is good, I do my research and decide it is good, and that's final. My laws, I'm representing myself as man, all right? My laws will be written based on what I think. So people will say things like, what about Romans chapter 1? It says, Paul was culturally conditioned, and I heard somebody say it, theologian, if Paul was alive today, he wouldn't write Romans chapter 1. A bishop somewhere in the UK. That time Reverend Akinola went to the UK and told them he will cast out demons from them. I don't know if people remember that. Derek Prince came before he passed on. Derek Prince said, thank God for the African bishops, that they were the ones that saved Christianity. Because he heard of what happened. If I said that man never, his preaches like never shows much excitement. That day I saw him point the air. He said, thank God for the African bishops. Never saw him move like that. Because he said, what am I trying to say? A bishop there, he threw away his collar after that meeting into the Thames River and renounced his ordination. Why? Because at the end of the synod, they did not agree to legalize homosexuality in all its ramifications. That they are not working in love. I saw a confused man. You know, I mean, when we're slightly younger, it's a normal thing that, in fact, till now, it's a normal thing. We'll go to travel. 2 guys stay in the hotel room. Do you understand my point? We don't think anything of it because, I mean, that's what normal, so that's how, which is why America is pushing back now. They're pushing back hard. That, look, guys, Donald Trump has, Supreme Court approved for him a few days ago to go ahead and sack all the transgender people in the military. Because they said it is affecting their lethality. That's part of their issue in military. That how lethal are we now? That's affecting us because, you see, you can imagine, you say, okay, female barracks. And some people who are there are men. Said they are females. And you know, war front. Nobody has time for all this partition. Everybody just lives on courts in a row. So, you know, some of those buggers, some of those crazy human beings, they now say that I'm transgender, but I'm a homosexual. You know what it means? No, you don't get it. This guy will get up and say he's not a woman. But it's not, now I'm a woman, but I'm attracted to women. I'm homosexual. Look at Antitai opening mouth. You want to swallow? You want to swallow my pulpit? Yeah, but that's how crazy the world became. Or has become. Not became. Has become. This Kim Kardashian's mother's husband. That's what he said. When he transitioned at the age of 62 to being a woman, he said his sexual preference is still women. Yeah. Some of us are laughing. I said, who are you fooling? Which is the reason why I dislike Barack Obama till tomorrow. Yet Obama congratulated him as a sitting president. Are you crazy? If it's Donald Trump, he will deport you to Alaska, the edge of Alaska, close to Russia. Because he can't remove you, an American. He will put you close there and freeze you. Oh, you see, you will become normal. You know what? When they arrested Bobrisky, say, are you a man or a woman? I said, I'm a man. Because in Nigeria, look, what they will do to you in jail, Nonsense. Nonsense. Where I'm going with this whole talk, all right? Do you know, what happened? People began to write their own laws. Started normalizing abnormality. It's called the knowledge of good and evil. It's the right to decide what is good and what is evil. It means to decide. So we can decide one day to write a book. We'll do a study, and we'll conclude at the end of the day that the father that chastises his son hates the son. What did the Bible say? The father that loves the child will chastise the child. But we can write, we'll disregard what God is saying. We'll do our study. It's a survey. It's called salvation by survey. What is average must be normal. What is common is normal. So we decide that, okay, having done our study over 5-10 years, we discover that children that their father flogged and their mother made pig pen. You know what it means to pig pen? Those who don't know, go and do your research on picking pen, all right? That they end up being bad students or they became delinquent. We just say it like that. Now, first, let's not even talk about how we did the study. Okay? Now, just by the way, if you do any study properly and you follow it for long enough, you always prove the word of God right. We don't need your study. We know. It's called revelation. Revelation is never wrong if it's genuine. In fact, life has shown again and again that the scriptures are correct. Like, for example, a guy wrote a book. He's a popular child behavior therapist. His name is Dr. Spock. Spock emphasized that if you beat children, you flog them, you give them corporal punishment, they increase the tendency to become sadistic and become antisocial. So that's why they say flogging children is bad. Then James Dobson, another professional, he said that study is true if you start late. So if you flog just to make it easy, a 10-year-old, he becomes resentful. He feels oppressed. He's angry because he had never been treated like that. But James Dobson said, as early as 2-3, you let them know things have consequences. He said, when you do that, they see discipline in your corporal punishment. So they learn lessons. So if you see anybody gets angry when he's corrected, just know he was not trained early in life. I read his book, James Dobson. He just showed that, listen, the problem with Spock is you pick those who started late. That's number one. Number two, you also mix into the... Now, I'm using my own understanding now. You mix into the bundle people who were not disciplined but were lashed out at. He stumbled. Father gives him a backhand because the father is owing rent. Do you follow my point? The man, the last phone call was to demand payment. Otherwise, he'll be ejected. And that stupid boy decided to play loud music. So the father went there, slapped him with... I told this story before. I saw a woman slap a child. I clenched. In front of the laboratory in Lagos University Teaching Hospital. She just walked up to me to beg for money. I was broke that time too. So, and in Lagos, there was no compassion because everybody begged for money. So, look, one, you're broke. Number two, everybody's begging. Number three, 70% of the beggars are liars. So, if you tell me, say, sorry, okay, if you don't give money, I will die. Then my friend die, I will bury you. And you continue walking. You continue walking because you see, this really happened. One day, one man, his son died, all right? One of my friends said, he called me before that he needed money to take the boy to hospital. So I didn't give him. Why? So he's always calling for all kind of things. So when he called, I didn't feel anything. So he now felt bad that, he wasn't lying. He felt very bad. Now, where I'm going with that? So this day, that woman walked up to me. Just talk once, spoke one grammar. Me down, waiting for a breakthrough. I didn't even think anything of her. So she had this. I didn't think anything of her. Why I remember her is what happened after. There was a little girl, obviously her daughter, that was crying, maybe asking for something, and held the mother's skirt. Jesus Christ. This woman turned. This girl could not have more than three. No, could not have more than three. Will you shut up? Oh, my body went like this. Jesus. That is not the discipline we are talking about. I used to tell my kids before, we used to have discussion on how many strokes of the cane. In fact, I still remember this junior pastor, my big boy, one day he sat down. I said, who did this? He looked at me. He said, if I tell the truth, will you beat me? I said, yes. I said, it will be three strokes if you tell the truth. But if you lie about it, and I find out the truth, and it is you, it will be six. The boy sat down, he thought. He said, okay, will it be with a cane or with a belt? If you see the conversation. The guy was negotiating before it. He was negotiating. What is the idea? Look, where I'm going is that it wasn't a lash out. I mean, there was a lesson to be learned. And I was going to teach it. You've heard of the story of a man whose child scratched his car, and he hammered the hand. Not Nigerian. Shattered the boy's hand with a hammer. These are people who are bad. Do you know, that's not what we are talking about. On my 10th anniversary, I remember I finished dressing up, wore a very nice black cord jacket. It was sparkling. My wife and I were just going to go out, go here, go there. And I had a car that time that was bought brand new, tear rubber. So it was just a few months old. So I came out and I saw the atmosphere outside was gloomy. My cousin was staying with me that time, who had washed the car. He sat on the floor with his hand like this. And our housekeeper that time was talking, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? So I look at everybody. What is going on? I was waiting for my wife to calm down. You know what happened? Victory had gone to the car with a stone and drew the map of the world, whatever that was. The boy had... He had written, he couldn't write. I mean, how old was he? He was, that was 20, that was 2009. He was two. It was two and a month. He was born November 2007. This was December 2009. He had scratched up, scratched down. You know the way, what can a 2-year-old write? But he started from the front door or the they had just washed the car. Nobody noticed when the boy went and picked a stone as I screaming the history of the world on the body of my car. When I got there, so you know what they expected? They went, ah, daddy will be angry. I look at him. He's a 2-year-old. That is what they do to cars. If I was supposed to be angry, it's with the old ones who were negligent, who were not looking. Where were they looking when a little boy managed to get away a car? And it took his time. The whole thing was there. So they expect me to get angry. I got there. I laughed. I said, it's a blessing. My son wrote on my car. Yeah, no, that was why I just laughed about it. But I called the boy, took him there. I took his monkey and flogged him. So I won't do it again. It's nothing. Tell my wife, come, let's go. Nobody will spoil my joy. Yeah, it's nothing. Honestly, somebody said, will you respray the car? I said, if it's a head that jammed, what will I do? Respray it. I go tomorrow, tanker jams it. I respray it. When I finish respray, as I'm coming out, I run into a tree by myself. I respray it. I've reversed into my own car in my own compound. That is, the car that I was driving was my own. The one I reversed into is my own. So I have to fix both of them. I have to tell my wife, careful, because if you jam that motor, I will be the one to fix that one. I'll be the one to fix this one. I said, dude, I never touched that. 5 years later, people would say, who scratched your motor? I said, it was my anniversary present from my little boy. But there was, you know, Americans love their cars. A man hammered his son's hand for that same thing. Now, that is what they mix up. Proper discipline, well thought out, well applied, followed with instruction. And most of them must be preceded by instructions. Just by the way, let me just tell that for a minute. First time a child makes a mistake, you don't do anything, you talk. Then you instruct or do something wrong better. The next time, it becomes disobedience. You only punish disobedience. You do not punish lack of ability. You don't flog a child for failing in school. That's against the law of God. But you can do it for not doing your assignment. Go to your room, go and do your assignment. It brings out the PlayStation and it's playing. That is supposed to be punished with little mercy. Of course, you're not punishment, you know. Seize the PlayStation, give him three strokes of the cane. But he goes to school, he didn't do well. And he tried. You are not allowed to get angry. You are not allowed to apply any punishment. We all have different capacities. What you punish is, I told you 2 hours of TV maximum on Saturday. You've done 3 hours. Yes. There should be sanctions for that. You disobeyed. I told you, no watching of TV after 7 o'clock. You should be on the table doing your homework. You didn't do that. I don't care whether you come back to school and get me 115%. You disobeyed the rule. But if you did your homework, you did your assignment, you read your book when you were supposed to, and the subject was not clear to you, so you didn't do well. That's big. We'll try another way. Now, please, I'm saying all of this for us to understand. Spock was wrong. Dobson was right. How do I know? Scriptures. Scriptures. The word of God lets me know Dobson was right. Why? It's called the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil makes you what? The God that decides. So what God says is inconsequential. Societies are built. Now, this is my next message. I've explained to you what it means to be God, to be like God now. So it's not as if you've transformed into creator. No. That's not what it means. God was not recognizing Adam and Eve as creators, co-creators with God. No. What he recognized was that they have chosen the path of independence. Henceforth, they will be their own judge, their own authority. Thank you. I like that word. They will be their own authority. What they say will be final. Unfortunately, they will have to bless themselves. The blessing was in the garden. He kicked them out. You're in the garden. You follow my rules. You can't come into my garden and make your own laws. That's the point I'm making. And that's what God was saying. This garden is mine. If you want to be God, go and create your own. So he drove them out to go and cultivate the earth from which they were made. This one, I made this one. The rules here are my rules. Small aside. That is why, please, you know, when the world, that's satanic anyway, started this issue of homosexual marriages and all of that. I said, why are you looking for God's problem? Why are you begging him to punish you? God didn't say two men cannot live together in the same house and sign documents together. Don't call it marriage. Because once you call it marriage, I created it. The rules are mine. That's what used to get me angry. That why is all of this nonsense? Why do you want to call it marriage? The person who created marriage created his rules. Once you go outside those rules, you step out. Outside his garden. Now, please, I'm explaining the principles behind this. You understood me, right?
Yes,
sir. Okay. I hope you did. Now, out of the garden, inside the garden. Let's talk about that. Consequence of choosing to eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It has consequences. Now, what I want to say next is very important for everybody to understand. It has consequences. Now, the consequences, again, because you now are the God, you know what God means now? You have to solve the consequences. Now, a lot of, and that's my message today. Now I say, overcoming what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. The world you are living in today, a huge chunk of it is built on the principles of the knowledge of good and evil. That tree. Like I told you, for example, somebody wake up in the morning and tell you that small families are better than large families. Okay? Then somebody tells you in the morning that everybody take care of them. Don't discipline your children. Now, I'm going to give an example. Small families are better than large families. Don't discipline them. Do you know one of the reasons I did not like, let me not mention her name, one American, former first lady, was as a young woman, part of her campaign was to have parents pay children for household chores. That was slave labor for children to wash plates in their house. The house you are saying is free, you ate on that plate free. So they were campaigning that parents should be made to pay wages to kids because they take out the trash, they help wash the car. You know, stuff that normally children would do in the house. This woman campaigned. They had the team, and there's one reason why I said people want to follow this woman. So you train children to be like that. Now, it has consequences. One, you said small families are better. Why? Because you see, you have to pay for this, pay for that, pay for that. So, this same small family you have, you train the children not to be responsible. So at the end of the day, you know what happens? You end up creating a system. Listen to this very carefully. You create a system in which by the time you are 60, you need to keep working. You are 70, you have to keep working. You are 80, you have to keep working. Why? Because those children you raised, they are not bad. They were not trained to think of you. Visiting you is a favor. Do you get my point? They will not inconvenience their families to take care of you. No, their psyche, they were not built like that. And it's your fault. You subverted the word of God. The knowledge of good and evil told you this is the best way to live life. Then when you find, now listen, everything you say has consequences. When you find the consequence of this, now listen, you now develop another system by which you will be taken care of when you are old. You start an investment for retirement. Then you build old people's homes. Then you set up a system. Now listen, if you don't know where it began from, it will look very wise. You will see it in Africa, in Asia, where things are slightly different. And you see in America, if you get to London, if you get to Europe, they have this system. You don't know that system was built because certain things have been subverted. You won't know that the extended family system which is what God created originally, did not make allowance for you to be old and homeless. It was impossible. Your children will take care of you. Your nephews, your nieces, your cousins, they will take care of you. So it wouldn't have crossed a mind in the garden to invest for old age. In the garden, it will never have crossed anybody's mind. It will never. And they wouldn't think about it. Orphanage, they wouldn't understand orphanage. Where should there be an orphan? That what happened? Where? They wouldn't understand it. And the parents died. Is the father's brother not there? And the father's brother would not think it a favor. Do you get my point? It's a community. It's a family. He's just one of the children in the house. Not okay, all right, okay. It's not, where's the orphan? No. Let me tell you how bad, in quotes, sorry. Okay, let me use how serious it was. When God was doing the lineage in Israel, if a woman married and her husband died, and he didn't have children before he died, the brother was forced to marry her. It wasn't, why are you not going to marry her? Who will take care of her? And the first child she has is named after your brother. That's the reason why I'm 100% in support of adoption. That's my reason. Because I've read the scripture. It says God really doesn't care about who's the biological child. The biological father. He doesn't really care. It's who raised the child that cares. You know, like, which family name does it bear? And just by the way, Nigerian law. Have you heard of DNA test? Nigerian law does not recognize it. I hope you know. Yeah, you don't know. It's who's the husband when the child was born. Say, this is the man. That's his child. Get out. Yeah, Nigerian law. No, in case you did not know. I've heard it here and there. I've heard lawyers talk about it. Nigerian law does not recognize, this child is not my own. You go and do DNA test. The judge is looking at it. We have DNA evidence. Say, not admissible. So they say, wait. Know what they are saying? Don't scatter the society for us. So the Lord decides to preserve the society. Say, hey, any child is in your house is your own. Please get out. Get out. I'm serious. I will give you the video. But I said, are you guys serious? Yeah. It's in America they are doing biological. Here they don't care. In fact, Islam is very funny. Islam is that even though everybody knows, they also don't care. Let me give an example now. A woman is pregnant and she and her husband quarrels and they divorce. Then she gets married while pregnant and delivers another man's house. That guy is the father. You that think they will so drive you out. Yeah, it's who was the husband when she delivered. That's their own check. Now, please, some people now, they don't have other work to be analyzing what I'm saying on something. They've left my message now to sit on that one. Their pastor, no, that's not right. It's not my problem. It doesn't concern me. I'm not a lawyer. Are you getting my point? Go and meet a lawyer. But where I'm just going is that the society, the way God designed it, did not allow for, certain problems we are now solving. I'll give another example. In many godless societies, you can read my book, Worship and Sex Control. I'll explain inside there. Sexual immorality, promiscuity, you understand? Is normal. Now, listen, let me explain. Please read my book, Worship and Sex Control. I don't have time to talk about it in details now. It's a normal thing with human beings. I said in that book that it's when God gives you life, when you are relating with God, he puts certain restraints on you. You read Ecclesiastes, Solomon says something. He said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, which is what? Many concubines. A natural man likes to have many women. You need to have life from God into you to derive satisfaction with one wife. The natural falling man. So that when you hear men say that, and only one soup, man go they chop. Yeah, they are right. It's natural man. Those of us that preach and practice the way we do, it's scripture, it's word, it's the tree of life, it's being in the garden. If you leave the garden, you have to live the other way. You heard the story of the one that's reading now on how to prevent prostate cancer. When I heard it, Some of you, I don't want to talk about it now, but you know what I'm talking about. Somebody asked me, say, Pastor, is it true? Because you know I'm also a doctor naturally. I said, so that's the only thing you came to this life to do. You know, it's like, people say, I said, it's not about whether it's true or false. It's about, can you do it? I know it's not true. You know why I know it's not true? Now, please, I'm not giving that authority, it's not true, as a doctor now. I'm giving you as a pastor, as a preacher of the word of God. God did not engineer that. He, you know, this life is not a game of chance. God had a design. That doesn't fit, it does not fit into his overall design. That's what I'm just telling you. Leave it. You know what I'm telling you about? Research goes like this. Tomorrow, one guy will say it's true. Listen. Oh, God, please, I hope you are following me. See, if you see what they call statistics, like somebody said, there are three types of lies. Statistics, and damn statistics. Statistics can be made to say anything. Because the formula for deciding what is right and what is wrong is that P is less than... By the time, in fact, by the time they show you, and you're like, who is P? And this has been used to license drugs that are nothing better than chalk. Some of the antidepressants people use, when I saw the statistics used to license them, I panicked. You know, you hear of this, I don't want to mention names now, this antidepressant. Do you know most of them, they are not a quarter as effective as having somebody hug you in the morning. You know the way we greet each other? Hey, my God. Shake my hand. Probably the guy from, hey, my half hour now, you know. That is more effective than most antidepressants. That handshake, get it twice a day, is more effective than most antidepressants. Let me tell you one that's even far more effective. Go for a wedding on Saturdays, African weddings. Dress, wear high heel shoes. When they are doing bridal dance, go forward. Don't sit down there like you are the one that stole your wife. They are marrying her in front. Do you follow my point? Go there, dance. When they see food in your church, they are fasting. Say, please, fasting continues after this wedding. You can interrupt the fast. Go and eat, then continue the fast after. It's okay. I hope you know it's okay. Some people don't believe that, but it's actually okay. How can you come for a wedding and say you're not eating? What is wrong with you? Jesus went there and drank. What's wrong with you? Just you want to kill, come and say, don't come if you're not. Listen, if I'm doing party, wedding, I'm not wedding again now. My children are wedding. You know, so like, if you come and you're fasting, if you don't want to come, don't come. Did I beg you? Do now you shake your head. You know what it means? You're not happy with us. You are wishing this marriage will fail. This husband, nothing bad will happen to him tomorrow. That's what you are wishing. You say, Pastor, that's not true. Then eat. What am I telling you? If you go for those weddings, just like two a month, and then see, just when they say, time to dance with the bride and groom, you don't have to spray money. In fact, this is if you spray, you're going to jail, so there's no need. Just go there and dancing. Oh, look at it, just grab your wife too, hold on there. I mean, I just a swing hand. That's a powerful antidepressant. Let me drop another one for you. Number one way to reduce your blood pressure, add 30 minutes to your sleep. That's what you're doing. You're not sleeping. You wake up at night to take a blood pressure medicine. It's the reason why your blood pressure will go up higher. One way to reduce your blood pressure, put off your phone. You hear what I said? I can tell you as a matter of fact, if you're not sleeping and you can afford it, get a low power AC in your room. May they blow you small. May they sleep. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen to cool music. Stay off at night, listen to music for some time. And just slow music. Go, 11 o'clock, you're going to be starting something. You will have high blood pressure. You have high blood pressure. going. Sleep well. Take your life easy. Now, this, when I talk about tree of knowledge and the consequences, they will tell you, you have to perspire to acquire the desire that you admire. And they are asking why you have high blood pressure. You just told me, perspire to acquire. Look, why won't I have high blood pressure? You're following my point. I was saying something earlier about godless society and sexual immorality. Godless societies, the sexual immorality is part of it. It's natural with godlessness. All right? Please read my book, Worship and Sex Control. If you are listening to this, you can download it. It's on our website. Just download it. Now, it has a number of consequences. Now, there are a number of diseases that are clear-cut, medically is known, to be linked to sexual promiscuity. Of course, we all know about HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. Then there's what they call cervical cancer, the second most common cancer of women. Women get cervical cancer because 99%, or men, okay, let me just say 95, because they are infected with a particular virus, which is called human papilloma virus, HPV. Okay? The high-risk serotype. Now, usually it's a problem of sexual promiscuity, both in the men and in the women, because the men can go collect it and bring it home to their wives, and she will suffer as if it's the one that's responsible. It's the same thing. Is that okay? Yeah, so sexual continence is required by God from both men and women. Do you understand? Now, you see where I'm going. Do you know, I'm in the medical field, the preaching of sexual continence is not part of medical curriculum. In fact, it is fought against in many countries. So, the tree of knowledge of good and evil has produced a disease. Instead of us to go back to the garden and say, how was it in the beginning? No. You know what we'll now do? We'll now manufacture condoms and then start promoting HPV vaccination for all young girls. Now, billions of dollars is spent to promote HPV vaccination. Now, I don't have a problem with that HPV vaccination. You can promote it. But just say, this is not the problem. The problem is this. Teach them side by side. Okay, you have technology now to help you. We thank God for it. But why don't you just at least inform the society that this is where the problem started? And let us return to the garden. And let us throw away this fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Peradventure God will show us mercy. Now, where I'm going is that, do you know many things in this life? They are caused by our departing from what God said and saying that we are now God. Then we'll now go out to start manufacturing solutions, treatment for problems we caused by departing from the word of God. And I'm saying to you, the society you live in right now is full of it. Chinese man says, if you want to plan for a year, you plant rice. It's a proverb, Chinese proverb. You want to plan for a year, plant rice. You want to plan for 10 years, plant trees. You want to plan for a lifetime, educate a child. They understand that the next generation, you understand? That is where your investment goes into. But these days, now, listen, when we have broken up the family structure, you have trained children not to care about their parents. Now, which, by the way, Jesus taught us, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't mean prostrate alone. It didn't mean kneel down to greet them alone. It did not mean don't shout back at your father or your mother alone. Honor your father and your mother means they must not be broke as long as you're working. It's a commandment. That your father and your mother eat is more important than you drive a car. That's what God says. That it is honor that they are well taken care of. See, God's investment What do you call it? He had two things. God had two things as a plan for old age. One, you will never get tired. So God did not expect anybody to retire. You can change professions. You can change what you do from being a physical worker in the farms and running your poultry. You may change and become a teacher of agricultural techniques. Do you get my point? But God did not expect one day you're going to sit at home and retire unless you're sick. Productivity all your life is a blessing. Like I keep on saying, old age is not a disease. One of the things the world does is to teach us that it's a disease. And then we imbibe it. We imbibe it. I'm sick, I'm old, I'm sick, I'm old. So by the time you're 60, you know, you're not as young as you used to be. You should remind me, I'm wiser than I used to be. I can do things that I could not do before. Like they say, there are things that children will stand on their toes and they can't see. The elder will sit down and see it clearly. So you should tell me that. How do I take advantage of this extra knowledge I've gained over time? Stop trying to emphasize to me why I should get tired and sick just because you think I'm old. You see what I'm saying? God's plan, you're never old, you're never tired, you can restructure what you do and all of that, but you should always be productive. Now, those who do retirement in this world, in case you don't know, many of them, it's so that the jobs can go around. They feel that government has paid you for doing nothing for 30 years. Let the other person come in and do nothing and collect his own portion. The world has systems, all right, that produce effects that we now try to correct. That's where I'm going. Please, I'll get to my main message in a moment. That's just all of this. I'm giving you a statement. Does it mean? Now, does it have consequences? The tree of knowledge of good and evil? It does. And a lot of the effort the world puts into things is simply because they refuse God. Okay, I said there are two, right? One, I said what? You are not supposed to get tired. Second, the next generation is supposed to honor their parents. Let me just tell you, if you are working, all right, and your parents have reached, in quote, the retirement age, I don't care how broke you think you are, of that little money you have, you must send to them regularly. Do you follow my point? Don't wait till you hammer. If I say this, some pastors won't like it now. Tie it to them. I know some people won't like it. Say, it belongs to the house of God. Stop telling lies. That's all I have to say. See the church you attend? You should give to them regularly. Amen? How many are in the church? Let's assume there are just 100. Now, what I want to say, please, try and understand me, because people have a way of misunderstanding. They have a way of misunderstanding. It's not good. Please pay attention. I'm not saying you should not be responsible to your church. But let us assume now, for example, you are an only child, and your parents are aged, and they have retired the retirement way. If you miss tithing in church one day, will your church stop? If you miss giving to them one day, would they feel it at home?
Yes.
See, let me tell you about the things of God. There's no law. Use your sense. Don't be stupid to tell me that. And God said it to you. Say it's korban. It has been given to God. When you know, this will need it. You know what he said? You make the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Some of these are things we do in church. It's nothing but tradition. Please, I always like to balance because some people from pastors have carried gun now to start shooting me online. See, yeah, it's true. I am not saying people should don't give to church. If you know the way I do things, it's, look, I have a sense of ownership. Do you get my point? I have a sense of ownership. If that church just is my own, that's all you need to, just have it in mind. I mean, assume you have 10 children in the house. You know, I'll say something totally differently. Do you get my point? You can call your siblings and say, please, guys, are you sure you are going to settle our parents this month? Because, please, I have a small tight distance. Can you guys give me 2 months? I'll pay back.
But you know, if you're an only child, you can't say that. That's what I mean. We're just being flexible here. But when people are so rigid, I told you about the lady who wrote me that he went to church to go and give first fruits. That the whole January salary, first fruit. Just by the way, please, I will tell you the truth. Please, eh? Let me tell you the truth. Can I? There is no law in the Bible that says your whole January salary must be given to church as first fruit. It's your church tradition. I'm not saying it's a bad tradition. That is bad. That is bad. It's just that it's your church tradition. It is not the word of God. Let's not dilute the word of God. Let's not mix it up. People have done things for the sake of the gospel that I've seen and I've been marveled. Wow, you spend this amount of money and I think it's good. God helping me, I've done things like that. But please, let's know what is the word of God and what is tradition. Anyway, this woman, young woman, got there. Say, pastor refused to collect it. Why? Because she took transfer money for the next month's work from it. Assuming the money was 100,000 and she needed 15,000 to transfer herself for the next 1 month. She removed 15K. Say, pastor. And she didn't want to lie. You know, some people just go give you the money and go walk away. She did not lie. Say, pastor, this is my first fruit. But it's short by 15K. Pastor said, why? He said, because, you know, to be able to go to work the next month. Pastor said, I lie. That he must be the 100%. And he refused to collect. So that wrote to me that, please, pastor, what do I do? I should have just said, send it to me, even if it's half. I will bless. No, we didn't do that. We just had that, please, don't mind your pastor. Hey, what you did, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good. Avoid him next time. Go to the church, drop in the offering basket. I didn't say don't give it. I said drop in the offering basket and go home. God sees your heart. She replied and said, have people spent the money? There's no need. Person they hear, they're hungry. You deform, say they remove something inside. So I say, he said, don't spend that. Hey, forget that. The Lord is good. Please, I hope you guys are following me this morning. I hope what I'm saying is helping us, all right? So please, why I said all of this is for us to be careful. When you are following the things of the world, some of the things they are doing is not wisdom. They are solving a problem they created. If you're ever in a position to campaign to push HPV vaccines, don't forget as a Christian, this other part I said, let them know this is a problem we are solving. There are diseases that will vanish if enough people just say no to iniquity. And let me tell you, a huge chunk, now this, I'm not sure I have any study on it yet, okay? But my friend and I discussed it one day, and I realized the Spirit of God that was helping us. A lot of mental illness is from sexual immorality. See, I don't have time to explain it, but let me just tell you. A lot of mental illness is from sexual immorality. Depression as part of it. Let's go back to health issues. Do you know the truth? A lot of health promotes, things that they promote, do for your health. I'm sorry, this is an area where I cross paths, you know, we cross each other. Me and medical professionals, especially even when they are Christians, they think I overdo. But I feel like I owe it to God to say what I want to say. Make of it what you want to make of it. Now, this one, don't misunderstand me. Warren Buffett, they asked him why he doesn't exercise and why he drinks Coke. You know what he said? At least I'm 94 years and I'm still here. He's 94 years old. Doesn't believe many of the things you do. I don't think that man is having to the gym. One day, a classmate of mine was talking about Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. He preferred Joe Biden to Donald Trump. I don't know why anybody would do that, but he does. But let's not get into American politics much, okay? But they are the world's biggest nation power-wise, so they come into our discussion here and there. So he now said something. He said Joe Biden, his weight is appropriate. His BMI is correct. It's within the accepted range. Joe Biden does exercise. He does a number of things. He was not trying to make mockery of Donald Trump, that Donald Trump is technically obese. No. By standards. It's definitely overweight. I think he's into the obese range.
You don't know this because he's very tall. He's six, about 6'4" or so. He's very tall, 6'2", 6'4". He's a very tall man. Do you understand? So the guy gave it that he's obese and that his cholesterol profile, all those, that they're out of range. And I told him, look, can you see yourself? If I got angry that day, you got to insult me. I said, you're arguing against yourself. You just proven to us that your body is perfect, but he has memory loss and he's always falling down. He's trying to climb Air Force One. He trips over. Donald Trump can jump from the top of Air Force One to the ground and chase immigrants. I mean, it doesn't happen. Look, you may not like him. People are even accusing him of influencing who the new Pope is. And that's just plenty talk, all right? You can abuse the man all you want. But he is a picture of perfect health. Yet, all the things that they say don't do, the man does. So I told my friend, I said, what are you saying? I said, from what you have said now, you have told us not to exercise. And please, we should eat and become fat. It was when I pointed out that he now realized, he now turned it to quarrel. He doesn't have time for nonsense talk. I said, it's not nonsense talk. Look at you now. Now, this is where I'm going. Most of the diet they do in the world today is an experiment. Nobody knows what works. For 30 years, more than 30 years, they told us if you eat cholesterol, you have problems. We'll stop eating egg yolk. You now see, no, low cholesterol, low cholesterol. Go to the market. They've withdrawn that thing. You don't see any product anymore. You know why? They found out about 6 years ago, in the last 10 years, less than 10 years, that is a lie. That the amount of cholesterol in your food has nothing to do with the state of your health. Yeah. They found that dietary cholesterol does not contribute to blood cholesterol. That the cholesterol in the blood is made in the liver from anything it likes. So they gently stopped talking about it. Now, at this point, they now introduce what? Sugar. That the real problem is sugar. As I laughed at everybody, I said, they have come again. I told everybody, I said, just watch. In the next few years, now, which is the next problem? Stop solving problems. Now, I keep saying it, that you don't have. You are not an American. Dangote sugar is expensive. You can't afford it. An average Nigerian cannot afford this sugar. When your children want to sow garri, you measure the sugar for them. Take. You have put 2 cubes already. That's enough for you now. Because last time you bought a pack, you know how much it cost you. They enter the kitchen, you see the pack, shouting, because of sugar. When you kill ants, come here. People don't know that the sugar that's paying you, how can ants come and be collecting your sugar? Do you know how much you pay for it? Why? For us, it is expensive. For the average American, they don't think about it. It is not thought about. You get my point? They don't think. They don't think about it. You go to Mr. Biggs or McDonald's, name them for me, Nigeria. Yes. Crunchies, KFC. You buy your meat pie and you buy a bottle of Coke. If you want another Coke, you know what to do? You buy it. If you want a third one, what do? You buy it. In America, it's not like that. You pay for a cup and you drink as many times as you like. They will ask you, do you want a small cup or a big cup? When you go to their buffets or stuff like that, they always sell alcohol extra. You pay extra if you need an alcoholic drink. But if it's this Coke, Fanta, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, stuff like that, if the entry is $15 to eat till you drop, you pay the $15, you can drink till you drop. They don't, is that abundant? So it makes me laugh when I see people that can hardly pay that for Dangote sugar, saying, I don't eat sugar. I'm looking at the face like, You can't even pronounce it. Thank God, though. Please stop solving problems you don't have. Please, I keep begging people, do not continue to solve problems you do not have. You don't have the problem they are trying to solve. It's very important. Now, that's what I was saying. A lot of health issues, interventions,
They are for problems that started because they departed from God. And that's why I keep advising people. Now, I'm watching my time. Let me quickly get down to it. Me? You want to hear the truth? I eat anything that tastes nice to me. The only things I don't eat is because they don't taste nice to me. Pastor Bank, do you eat sugar? Very well. Ah, how can you so garden there's no sugar? Are you okay? I use shovel. Telling you. I don't forbid. The only thing I forbid are things that when I eat, I feel distorts my stomach. So at this age, you don't eat sugar. That is your problem. Not mine. I eat it. So at this age, you don't eat egg. Check, I didn't ask you to give me egg. You're not the one frying it for me. It's between my wife and I. Abby, I eat it. What else do they say people shouldn't eat? Red meat. You may not have known. Meat is not to be graded by color. You can separate meat and that's, they're all meat, but we don't call fish meat, right? You can separate meat from fish, but you can't separate fowl, chicken, from beef. That's deceiving yourself. It's pure self-deception. In case you don't know, I've told you today, shit, there's something you are now learning. Small aside, stop taking advice from people that didn't go to school in that area. Ijoma comes and tells you now not to eat red meat or purple meat. Ask Ijoma. Is that a tense? Is that syntax? Is that a grammatical expression? Which part of speech is meat? Yesterday, I went to the mall. As I was coming out, I was like, one young lady followed me. Excuse me, please, can I talk to you, sir? I said, please, I'm kind of in there. He said, no, it's okay. You can keep walking. I'll walk with you and talk. I said, okay. So I kept continuing walking. So, okay, what can I do for you? He said, you know, we have this fantastic health, this thing. I said, wait. I said, oh, girl, you chose the wrong person this morning. This was yesterday morning at the mall. She said, why? I said, I'm a doctor. He said, hey, it doesn't matter. We have some nice supplements. I said, I don't believe in supplements. They don't work for anybody. Yeah. In case you do not know it now. It's a waste of your money. I said, they don't work for anybody. He said, okay, sir. Let me just have your WhatsApp number. So I said, give him my WhatsApp number. I said, okay, I can't do that. He said, why not, sir? You know, if I ask for your number now, would it look okay? You now want to collect my number and it's okay. I said, okay, let me just tell you something. I said, you don't understand. I'm a doctor. I told you earlier. Did I not? He said, yes. I said, I cannot take medical advice from you. That's what I told her. I said, what is wrong with you? Look at you. This girl probably just finished SSC last year. Because you don't know, I finished medical school in 1991. I will not be taking health advice from you. God should punish me extra now. He should say, Baki, come here. Just give me a brain tumor. Because it doesn't make any sense. I take health advice. Some say you have to be humble. But not humility and stupidity are two different characters. I thought, okay. I said, I can't take health advice from you. She said, do you know this girl? I said, why not? I told her, just look at my beard alone. That alone tells you, I can't take health advice from you. I have been a doctor for almost 34 years. You are not even 34 years old. All of you are laughing, though, Abby. Yet you go to stupid websites written by Ijoma Anko to tell you. Meanwhile, the only reason why Ijoma is writing there is because she's very good with expressing herself in English. And you come here to be telling me what to eat. How if you put cabbage and what do you call that thing? Lettuce, thank you, and broccoli. Once you see the word broccoli, shut down the website. How can you be in Enugu? If they have said Utazi, we know they are talking. We know they are talking. Thank you. You're telling me broccoli? You look at this, look. You know, people every day, let me tell you, most of the problems they are solving is they departed from God. They have all kinds of diets. I'm begging you, don't participate in those things. There's a reason why God said, I'm the Lord thy doctor. I'm watching my time. And that's what I want to get to. How to deliver yourself from all these effects of running away from God. How to deliver yourself from the effect of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Like I've already explained, many of the consequences. Listen, even health consequences. Do you know? Time will not allow me. I will have shown you some things that people do as a habit. If you're a woman, please, don't lose too much weight. You are not the same as the man. That's why it's harder for you. The aggression people put into it, you're not an American. Please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying have too much weight. See, your weight that I'm seeing most of you here have will not kill you at all. There's absolutely no disadvantage once you can carry yourself around. People don't believe those things. Being skinny is not the eternal plan of God. Nobody should tell you that skinny people will get to heaven quicker. The beds there are narrow. I know what I'm telling you. You know when I see people sometimes, see. One day you're going to cross the age of 50. You're going to be 55. Most of your estrogens will be made from your body fat. Your ovaries wouldn't produce any anymore. Stop treating your fat as if it's the devil. It's not the devil. That's what I'm telling you. Don't stop. I'm not saying that people should. You'll see where I'm going in a moment anyway, when I get there. I'm not saying people should just be careless about life and everything. But this one, you want to jog and die jogging. 2 hours every day, you are panting. You have not preached to one soul for 5 minutes. So. Yet 2 hours, you are sweating your life away. One man even wrote a theory that sweat contains all your minerals and you will soon die. Now, I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's true. He said excessive sweat is not good for you. It's a soup of all your vital minerals. I said, bro, how long will you people confuse us? You know, one of my classmates posted something like 2 days ago. I had to give him a thumbs up. The same guy that was talking that one we were calling the other day, he works in the hospital in America. He said, guys, why do we deceive patients? I said, what do you mean? He said, when they're always getting tired, we say, you should go and check their magnesium level. Some of you said, do you check magnesium level? He said, yes. That they do it, they check magnesium manganese level. He said, for what now? Looking like, guys, when did this one start? He said, why don't you just tell them we don't know what is wrong with them? This is an American physician. He said, why don't we just tell them we don't know what is wrong with them? Because it's what you call chronic fatigue syndrome. Some people are just, so they are looking for what? So they keep on trying, left, right, and center. You see, because of time, I'm going to stop now, okay? No, not the preaching, no. All these explanations I'm doing. Let me get to the next thing I want to say, all right? But just for you to know that, please, human beings are not God. They have become like God, and we know what that means. Yes, but the real God, the creator God, they still are not. Some of you will be spending half of your money on supplements. Let me just tell you, you are being hurt more than being helped. It's a medical fact that except there's a demonstrated deficiency in your life, or you are passing through a particular stage, like you're pregnant, or you have a particular disease that will normally cause a problem, or you've been tested and shown to be deficient in this thing, if those three things are not, then never take any supplement. Eat your food and go home. All of this I've said today is to preamble to my message. My message never started.
What's the message? How do you overcome these things? I have risen up and down. Let me tell you my credentials. One, I'm a preacher of God's word. I've been preaching the scriptures now for nothing less than 30 years. My first open message when I was told to preach, it's around 1989. Calculate how long that is. 1989, thereabout. The grace to teach scriptures came upon me around 1990. I've been preaching this gospel for at least 35 years with the anointing of God. From 2003, I started preaching regularly in Kingdom Word, weekly. So I'm speaking to you as an anointed man of God. Number two, less importantly, I am not ignorant of physical things in this life. I know a little bit of medicine. I teach medical students till now. I read. I'm not a stupid person. I do my reading. I have seen people argue with me that I don't know a fraction of what I know, and I'm looking at them and smiling. Based on this, number one, 90% is the first one, the scriptures, but add 10% that I'm not ignorant about life. I want to give you a few things on how to live your life. Please, everybody, follow this, and you'll be safe. Follow this, you'll be healthy. Follow this, you will live long. Number one, this is for everybody, whether you are here or not. It's for everybody. There are certain principles you should live your life by, which is I will call them the principles of the garden. Now, you remember we started from Psalm 15 to show that God loves some things and he hates some things. So I want to start with some things that he loves, some things that are commandments of the temple and of the garden, commandments of his presence. These things, most of them will appear spiritual, but they are the keys to life. Most of them will appear like spiritual, but they are the foundation for prosperity. Prosperity, as we know, is a gift. It's not something you hustle and harass yourself to get. It is a gift of God. What should you do to live the life of the garden with God protecting you, keeping your health, blessing you, prospering you? Number one, worship. Everybody must worship. If you don't worship, you have to go the way of the world. If worship is not an active part of you, you have to monitor your health every day. The things I'm saying, please, don't get me wrong. They are not for people that are not connected to God. Life comes out of God. You know, I decided to do a search in the scriptures. Revelation alone. I was looking for the elders and the 24 elders and the four beasts. And I see something that they kept on doing what? Worshipping. You can go and do a search of it. Quickly, open your Bibles. Let's read one of it. Revelation chapter 4. People worry too much. Jesus said, you are not supposed to worry. The one people worry most about is what? Their future. When Jesus was speaking, he was talking about that particular future. This modern day, they worry more about their health than their future. Do you know that? The same word of God applies. See, checkup won't save your life. It won't. It's God. See, I told you, people say, exercise. Yeah, one guy was boxing in Ghana. Nobody hit him in the head. He just dropped and he died. Footballers are very, very fit. Regularly, they drop and die. You are aware of that? Athletes drop and die. People die in the gym. One guy I gave as an example was a doctor in America who came out of the gym and died. Life comes from God. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If you want to live, pray. What did I say?
If you want to live, pray.
Let me ask you a question. Who determined when Ezekiah would die? Who said, okay, you live for 15 more years? Let me ask you a question. Could you have shot Ezekiah to kill him in the 15 years? Could heart disease have killed him over the next 15 years? Could cancer have killed him in the next 15 years?
If God says you will live, you can't die. You hear what I said? If God says you will live, you cannot die. And please, I should also say this. Christians, take your life away from the realm of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Bring it into the garden under the influence of the tree of life, where God, the creator, monitors things. You do that by faith. People magnify physical things too much for me. Listen, I know more than them. That's the painful part, most of them. But I choose, it's a choice. See, you don't get my point. It is a choice. I made up my mind. God, preserve me or let me die. It's a choice. I made this choice prayerfully. Some time ago, I wasn't feeling well. It wasn't a serious matter. I was here preaching, but I talked to some people, you know, just like, say, hey, do this. At the end of the day, I just rose up at night. I laid down there. I said, Lord, here I am. Keep me or let me die. I said, no. I cannot take thought and worry my head. I said to the Lord, keep me or let me die. If you will not do it, let us know. I just like a timeline. Let me get some things done. Like you told this guy, put your house in order. Before you shall leave, you shall die and not leave. Hey, let me know. Not let me die now. They're looking for my password. Let me tell everybody the PIN. Password, you know, this is the ATM card. This money is here. I beg, don't die and be causing confusion. Because I found out, if God doesn't say I should live, no human being can say you should. You know what God said? No one can snatch anybody out of my hand. Let me explain to you. When Aaron was going to die, God said to Moses, see, this is your brother. Time for him to go. His sons will take over. He said, remove his garment. He removed Aaron's garment. Aaron fell sick and died. All that God did was just to Moses, remove his garment. Christians, your life is not a game of chance. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to you. Time for Moses to die. Moses had talked and begged. God said, it's enough. Moses, now, let us do the dying thing here. Lie down here. And Moses laid down. And God broke his spiritual vacuum, sucked him out. Go and wait for resurrection. Give me the body. Boys, dig. The angels dug. They put him inside. God covered him by himself. Make sure they can't find the place. No matter how much you look for it, he hid it. Revelation chapter 4. Now, time will not let me. So, I won't read much of it. Or let just, hey, how do we do this? But if you go through, let's just read this one. If you read chapter 4, it described that there was one who was sitting on the throne, in verse 3, and he was sitting like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Then he also described, if you go down to verse 6, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind, and described those living creatures. And the four living creatures, verse 8, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him, who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever. And we cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were
created. Time would not allow me to read. There are so many of that. But if you go to verse 11 of chapter 7, he said, "And all the angels were standing around the throne, many of them, and around the throne, and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God." Did you notice that? Let me tell you something quickly. Maybe I should stop here because of time. I'll continue the rest next time. Let's stop here. Time will not allow me because I need to explain this thing very well. This is the key. Or these are the keys. Keys to prosperity. Amen. Keys to life. Keys to health. Keys to the retirement plan. Keys to tapping into divine abundance. Let me tell you something. You cannot specifically hold any of these things. There are no methods to them. You can just try to live your life the way God ordained it. And that's what I'm preaching. I have about 7 or 8 points. This is number one. Yeah. So you can imagine I have to stop now. Otherwise, we're not going to go home today. But I can give a list of them. Number one, about worship. I will talk about worship. They will talk about faithfulness and diligence. As part of worship, you must hope in the mercy of God. There's something about it. Hoping in God's mercy. I'll explain that anyway. Then we'll talk about rightful use of the tongue. The law of moderation. That is where food matter comes in. The law of moderation. There's a law about it. Gluttony is a sin. Living to eat is a sin. It's wrong for you. All you want, everything, you must taste it. There's a reason why God gives indigestion. Do you hear what I said? What did I say? From my own personal experience, I can tell you. I have a habit. I started some years ago. I don't eat unless I'm hungry. It's my personal habit. If I'm not hungry, I'm not eating. So, you read the scriptures? No. I found that that's what causes indigestion for me. Eating when you're not hungry. So if I'm not hungry, it's just me. God helped me to develop it over years. It's already very painful. Like one day, a friend of mine said, "Banky, well, come, let's go out together. Well, come, we're having a meeting, but let's go out. Wait. I waited. After some time, I told my wife, "I beg, I don't have to wait." So I went and ate a bar. You know what I mean? Loaded a bar. Correct one, correct soup, everything. As I finished drinking water after eating, the phone rang. "Banky, hey, where you there?" I was supposed to go to a Chinese restaurant. He said, we are ready. "Please, come. And then my car, I drove there. I got there, entered. My God. Everything was set. "Banky, eat now." I said, "Inside wisdom." Painfully, I stood and watched these men eat. Diced chicken, sauce this one, rice like this, mushroom here. Are you looking at them like this? I said, "Uber, why didn't you just call 30 minutes earlier? I've been waiting for since around 6, so you don't blame me." But I stood there, we're just gisting, they were eating, click, pass that one plate. Good food. I didn't take a bite. Why? I said, "I'd eaten." It's a law of moderation. There are many things that God commanded us. You know, when we finish breaking them down, we start looking for medicine. One new drug they have done there's license now abroad, is to help you lose weight. I feel sorry for those who are taking the drugs. You know why? Except you're on insurance or stuff like, it's very, very expensive. And does not work for longer than the day you are taking it. The moment you stop, you go back to what it used to be. That's why I'm teaching what I'm teaching. The first thing you do is worship. What did I say? Worship. See, let me tell you why I read about these elders. Have you ever asked yourself? Now, there's a principle. God does not ask for anything for himself. You know, God has a rule. If he needs something, he doesn't ask anybody. Did you hear what I said? It's a rule of being God. If he has a need, you know what they call need? He does not discuss with anybody. He meets his own needs. He gave it to us in simple terms. If I'm hungry,
I don't tell you. By law, see, get my point. God cannot tell you if he has a problem. But he gives commandment, yes, to solve your problem. Let the people praise him. It is so that their earth can bring forth his increase. It's not just doing with your praise. So I reason about this. Why had 24 elders and the four beasts, the 24 elders will cast their crowns and they were holy, holy, worthy, are talking. You know, we are human. So with this, our anthropopathism is too much. We carry our emotions into God too much. So you are sitting on the throne and they're shouting, Babake. That's what happens to human beings when you sit down. Hey, Pastor Dami. Sit. Husband of Chizurum. This is Chizurum talking now. Husband of Chizurum. Say, yeah. And your children call daddy the correct daddy. Say, come on, say it again. So when you can't sleep, you call your children. Who am I? Correct daddy. You fall asleep. They have given you your medicine. That is human beings for you. God is never like that. So anytime those such transactions are going on, always bear that in mind. God is gaining nothing. They are gaining everything. You know what the Holy Spirit helped me to understand? You know what worship is? It's food for you. When you worship, you go to tap life. Do you get my point? Let's think about plants. Perfect example. You know, some plants, they shut their leaves at night. They close their stomata at night. They don't want to lose water because there's no sun for photosynthesis. Then when the sun comes out in the morning, you know what they do? They worship. Can you connect?
Yes.
When the sun comes out in the morning, they worship. Why? That is photosynthesis. They've come to tap life from the sun. They open their stomata. Carbon dioxide rushes in. They open the leaves fully. Why? They are tapping the sun. So if we were to take a picture of that, what does it look like? Worship. Do you know even reptiles crawl out from their caves and come to worship? So see them lie down on the stones. It looks like we are doing what? Worshiping. But you know the truth, they are not worshiping. What are they doing? They are tapping life. They are tapping warmth. The truth is that's exactly what happens when we worship. When you look at it from outside, you look at, oh, they've gone to worship God. Man, God is blessed too. God is really blessed. See people just worshiping him. God said, you don't know anything. They've all come to tap life. But when you come, it's submission. Just like the leaves, you open up your leaves. You open up your stomata. You are soaking in life. Why are the elders falling down? That's what makes them elders. Why are the four beasts, all right, worshiping? Without it, I'm serious. One moment there are beasts there. Next moment, they've disappeared. Life leaked out of them. You know what worship is? It's the way by which God's life keeps flowing into you. When it starts flowing, you start thinking like a thorough idiot. You just wake up in the morning. You see one man, muscle, big like this, bare. Say, my God, this guy is fine. I'm attracted to him. We look at you and say, hello, are you okay? He says, in my genes, you shouldn't judge me. You shouldn't judge me. You know what? Life of God has left you. No, the life of God has left you. The life of God has left you. That's it. You start becoming hard and angry and hateful towards your own children. The life of God left you. You suddenly forget your parents. You don't honor them. So everybody has his life to live. The life of God left you. Every little sickness is your portion. One virus will come, catch on you. Stomach trouble, it will fall on you. Cancer, it will drop. Degenerative disease, bone, everything will become weak. After a while, they say you are forgetting. You don't want to have dementia? Worship. See, it's not a trick. I don't know what I get my point.
Yes, sir.
It's not. It's just that is where life is. Every society... Let me tell you something. Have you ever heard that men used to be hunter-gatherers and then they developed? No, it's not true. When they stopped worshiping, they began to shrink. They lost their vitality. What made them human beings? They lost it. Worship, time's sake, I will stop. But because there's so many things about worship. We talked about it then. Go and get the series. Is it true worship? Yeah, I explained it. I explained it. See, it's a place of worship. Worship is not just, it's part of it. The idea of raising your hands and singing songs, that is a crucial part of it. But worship is the way you live life all the time. Romans chapter 1, we see it there. You have to acknowledge, you know, I teach, my daughter and I will discuss, you know, I teach her, you know, anatomy, physiology and stuff like that. Sometimes she will look and say, hey, and somebody said there's no God. Yesterday we were discussing about the placenta. And I explained some things to her. She said, And somebody will say there's no God. Can you see what I'm calling worship? She just looked at it and said, this is human bodies. In fact, she said, this thing is so complicated. How can somebody say nobody made it? That's a teenage girl talking. Bennett, with you, if anybody says nobody made it, God will roast that person in the hottest part of eternal fire. You know why? You're a liar. It has to be a lie. If you see, oh God, I studied natural, you know, this is function of the body. When you see the way the body functions, like my daughter, I'll just explain one small thing, not a big thing. The only thing I explained to her was a very small thing about how placenta works. And she said, And somebody said, nobody made it. And being honest with you, that is not even up to 1% complication in some things that I know. What about the things I do not know? That day I was teaching her something. She said, Daddy, please, let me go. Before you tell me there are two types. Now, you know what? At first said, this one has three types. And the first one has two types. Of that two types of the first one, each one can be divided into two. So, I was going on. After a while, so I now said, this particular one now has this type and all of that. And I said, okay, so it's almost like Bible study. He said, Daddy, please let me go. Carry her book. Let me go. Before you tell me it has two types. I said, actually, it does. I said, one is called M1. The other one is called M2. She just carried her paper. Please, bye-bye. Next time. That's what she said. And somebody says, nobody made it. You know worship? It's a life of thanksgiving. It's a life of, listen to this, very, very, very important, life of constant gratitude. And there's another part of it. I'll just draw it somewhere, explain it next time. And that is a life of hoping in mercy. I won't explain it, but don't forget it. I talked about what? Gratitude. All right? Praise is part of it. That's the first thing I said is about praise. I talked about gratitude. Then I talked about what? Yes. I missed one. Submission. That's part of worship. That's the third one. And last of it, hoping in mercy. That is critical. That is critical. Hoping in mercy. That is critical. Let me just drop this one and I go with it. That is where the name of Jesus is important. That's why we preach Christ. That's why we preach Christ. That's why we preach Christ. But because without that Christ, mercy is not available. And without mercy, we can't make it. Let me tell you what mercy does for you. You will eat poison. And you add weight. People are dying, no? But you eat it and your face is fresh. It's called mercy. You step on serpents and scorpions and nothing hurts you. It's called mercy. Sometimes I look at life, it's so full of dangers. The other day I was driving, my son and I heard one sharp sound coming from like the car. Think I said, Daddy, what is that? I said, I think we stepped on something. He said, the boy didn't believe it. It was so loud. Anyway, we kept on driving. The next day I came out. Let's make a long story short. Right above the driver's, this thing. I saw my car dented. So apparently somebody, maybe it's a stone. It was hard enough to dent my car right above the glass. Then Gwenka said, no, daddy, remember yesterday, that noise? That's when it hit me. Maybe somebody stoned the car. You see where I'm going? My glass could have been down, and it will have come just 3 inches lower. That's my head. Yeah. You know Donald Trump? That young man took a gun, aimed at him, released one shot, twam! He missed, twam! Missed. Donald Trump turned his head, and the next bullet was not planning to miss. You know why I finally missed? That moment he turned to look in that direction. That tilt of head grazed his ear, which means it did not turn, it's penetrating that skull. Life is dangerous. Is it? This life is dangerous. People have gone to wedding eating normally, and everybody died on that road. In this Enugu, I still remember bride, groom, chief bridesmaid, everybody just died. Why? Somebody used bad tin tomato to cook. Should I talk about the people that came home for, is it Christmas or something? Their village have a new house. They put generator outside. They woke up in the morning, everybody's dead. Apart from the baby that's near the window. Generator was not inside the room. It was outside. This, you know, sometimes I say, if I'm not a Christian, my children are not going anywhere. I'll be watching people every time like this. Then when I do like that, you will not make any progress in life. So I say, if you go out now, I'll get high blood pressure. If you don't worship, you will have high blood pressure. It's just not possible. Because the worries of this life. You know, I keep on telling you, you have to worry. You see, you cannot say you will not worry. How can you not worry? The only reason why we don't worry is because we gave the worry. Look at the worry. It's too plenty. So you go and meet God. Good morning, you know. Blessed, you get space for worry. Let me keep this one. God said, what is that one? He said, the future of my children. Please hold it. My own health. Hold it. I want to drive my car. The concern for the safety. Hold it. Please, Lord, help me hold everything. Now, I'm going to drive carelessly. Speed limit is low, but I'm not worrying about anything. God of miracles. This road is dangerous. That's, you see, go and tell God. I gave him that worry. You know, just be going your own. Say, what if you die? I will go and meet God who's holding my worry. But please leave me alone. Just leave me. I will not worry. People teach us all, every day how to worry. Then tell us we're hypertensive. Go and buy antihypertensive drugs. Brethren, you want to be okay in this life? You have to worship. I have to talk about worship again next time. I just need to add that last one to it, which is what? Hope and mercy. Mercy is what is keeping you alive. It's not like you know what to do. See, let me tell you again. You have eaten bad food enough to kill a battalion. You are still alive. No, my wife doesn't want for funny thing. You didn't wash your hand. You didn't wash your hand. Did you wash that? Then she would drop biscuit on the floor and eat it. I say, look at you. He said, I didn't wash my hand. He said, it's an expensive biscuit. I said, what? You? He said, that is the thing that she had been planning for. It is the last one. I said, baby, you told me to wash my hand. This biscuit just fell on the floor. He said, no, I've blown it. Somebody say mercy.
Mercy.
Say mercy.
Mercy.
Say mercy.
Mercy.
See, let me tell you. Mercy will keep your children.
Amen.
Mercy will keep you.
Amen.
Mercy will take care of you in your old age.
Amen.
See, when you see everybody running up and down to go and do this so that they can be secure, check their health, and you can't afford it, you enter your closet and say, Lord, have mercy. And I'm saying, mercy will clean your blood vessels.
Amen.
Mercy will clean your intestine.
Amen.
Mercy will strengthen your heart.
Amen.
I want to pray for somebody. You will not have dementia.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, you will not begin to forget.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I speak to that brain. By the mercy of God, receive life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I speak to that heart. By the mercy of God, receive life.
Amen.
Diabetes is not your portion.
Amen.
Now, let's pray. Somebody is listening to me because of diabetes. All right? You've been having to take drugs, go to hospital. If even threatening to cut your leg. Now, listen. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Receive mercy.
Amen.
Receive health.
Amen.
I say receive health.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, hey, wait, wait. Somebody say, it's because of the way you ate. No, we're not discussing that. We said receive mercy.
Amen.
You know what mercy means? you will experience that which you did not deserve. Blessing you did not pay for will be made yours. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bow down your head and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Quickly bless the people beside you. The second person, this is your season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, last one for yourself. My season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, share our brethren.